It's a great pleasure today to be able to welcome Cliff and Beth. Cliff, could you stand for a moment? Let's give them a big welcome. Thank you very much. Cliff and Beth started here in Camden, started here at New Life many years ago, and God has worked in their lives. They've been very fruitful and very effective here as part of the church for many years. And God called them out to this place miles out of London called Harrow. It's somewhere out near Heathrow. I don't know. It's somewhere out there. So Cliff's one of the leaders there, the church, Cliff and Beth, lead out in New Frontiers Church out in Harrow. So it's a great pleasure. We're really, really thrilled. We've always had a connection with them. We've stayed connected heart-wise. And they've been tremendous things happen out there in Harrow. And it's such a blessing. They bring something as they come back here to New Life. God's given them an anointing. God's given them something for us. So, Cliff, come on. Let's give Cliff a big round. Come on down.
Thank you. It has been... thank you very much. It has been 20 years, and in that time, England are still yet to win a Football World Cup.
This is the year.
We did win a Rugby World Cup in 2003. I don't think we're going to do so maybe in the next one. But thank you. It's wonderful just to come and be with you. We just look forward so much to coming, because just to be in the family of God, in the presence of God, so wonderful. So this morning, I want to bring a message that I pray God will touch each of our hearts, that we will be different, that we will be new, made new and revitalized. So let me find my little clicker thing, if I can. Technology. Okay. Do I have to? Here we go. Ah, something's come up. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are our Father. You're our Heavenly Father. You're the Father who loves us with an everlasting love, and that you've drawn us with cords of loving kindness. Your faithfulness continues forever to us. And we stand here because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his sacrifice on the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father. And we thank you, Holy Spirit of God. We worship all of you. We worship because you are the one true living God. And we ask that you would have your way this morning. We surrender again. We thank you for blood shed, the precious blood of Christ, that our hearts can be changed, that our sins forgiven, that we can partner with you in humility and in grace. And we ask that you would come forth in power today to have your way and your will. And we surrender to that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I did hear a story about Monty Panesar, who's an England cricketer, a spin bowler. Anyone heard of him? Well, he had a niece, and he wanted to use her iPad. And she was much more tech savvy than he was. And so he asked for the password. And she said, and I've got to get this right, she said, Mickey, Minnie, Huey, Louie, Dewey, Goofy, and London. And he said, that's an awful long password. She said, I was asked for 6 characters and a capital. Anyway. So this morning... I just couldn't resist that. It's interesting, Psalm 100, in the Message version, it says, the password is thanksgiving. And we're thankful, aren't we, that God has done so much for us. This morning I want to speak on dependence on the Holy Spirit. Back in Harrow, we're doing a Spirit-filled church series, and... I've changed this for today because I feel I just really want the Holy Spirit to be just honoured as the third member of the Trinity. And I want to look at 3 things. I want to look at our call to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, our call to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit, and our invitation and our need to keep fully depending on the Holy Spirit of God. And so it says here, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that's my prayer today, that for all of us, we would encounter the friendship, the partnership, the communion afresh of the third member of the Trinity, the one who leads us into the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who shows us the love of our Heavenly Father and makes it real in our hearts. And so I'll open my notes in a minute instead of turning around. A.W. Tozer defines the Holy Spirit most importantly as a person. He is a personal being. He is the third member of the Godhead. He is God and very God. And he is the one who comes and draws near. He says the Bible and Christian theology agree to teach that he is a person. He's endowed with every quality of personality, such as emotion, intellect, and will. And he knows, he wills, he loves, he feels affection, antipathy, and compassion. He thinks, he sees, he hears, and speaks, and performs any act of which personality is capable. Why do we need to restate that the Holy Spirit is a person? Because sometimes we kind of think of him maybe as a force. He's sometimes referred to as the Holy Ghost, which can seem a little bit scary or confusing. And in some ways, his role is very much to be invisible and to be underpinning everything. So it's understandable. But he is to be worshipped. He is to be honored. Do we pray to the Holy Spirit? The Lord Jesus said, pray to the Father. We see, don't we, Stephen praying to the Lord Jesus as he was being stoned. And I believe that we are to worship. We are to speak with. We are to ask for the help of the Helper. I better open my notes or we're really going to be in trouble. I don't know if you could imagine being one of the original disciples of Jesus. Simon and Andrew, fishing business, Jesus comes along and chooses them. The great rabbi, instead of being chosen, comes and says, follow me. I want you to follow me. I want you to be with me. I want you to journey with me. I want you. I want you. I choose you to follow me. And I'm going to make you fishers of people. You're going to show my goodness in your jobs and in your homes. You're going to reveal the love of God. I'm going to change you and make you to be lovers of me so that you can love other people. And of course, the disciples followed that, and they had 3.5 amazing years. And then one day, they got some bad news, some very bad news, because at breakfast time, we don't quite know when, Jesus said, guys, I'm going to leave you. I'm not going to be sitting with you. I'm not going to be teaching with you. I am going to be with my Father. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. He went on to say in John 16, the things I've said to you has filled your heart with sorrow. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. We see in the Amplified Version that the Holy Spirit is known as the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Intercessor, the Advocate, the Encourager, the Strengthener. He is the great Paraclete who comes alongside us to carry and bear our load. He is the one, when Jesus said, "Take my yoke," the Holy Spirit comes alongside. He has promised not to leave us fatherless. Now, we know that some of the disciples, they had earthly fathers. One of them, Zebedee. What a wonderful name. Anyone with a child on the way. Anyway, but he said, "I will not leave you as fatherless, as orphans." And whatever our backgrounds, we know that there is the Heavenly Father. And to make the fatherhood of the Heavenly Father real, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. Gordon Fee says, we need a conviction that the Holy Spirit is a person. Whatever else is in Paul's thinking and experience, he stresses that the Holy Spirit is not some kind of impersonal force that comes from God. The Spirit is fully personal. He is God, very God. The Nicene Creed, an ancient creed, says, "I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified." He is known as the Lord. He's the Lord of the harvest. He is God, and we should worship him. R.A. Torrey says this, "If we think of the Holy Spirit, as so many do, as merely a power or an influence, our constant thought will be, how can I get more of the Holy Spirit? But if we think of him in a biblical way, as a divine person, our thought will rather be, how can the Holy Spirit have more of me?" Someone else said, "I want you to know this. Beyond salvation and beyond being baptized in water, beyond the infilling of the Spirit, the third person of the Trinity is waiting for you to meet him personally. He yearns for a lifelong relationship." But we think maybe, okay, that sounds all a bit, aren't we getting into dodgy territory here? Tozer again says, "What we have in the Christian doctrine of the Holy Spirit is deity present among us. He's not God's messenger only. He is God in contact with his creatures, doing in them and among them a saving and renewing work. The persons of the Godhead never work separately. We dare not think of them in such a way as to divide the substance. Every act of God is done by all three persons. God is never anywhere present in one person without the other two. He cannot divide himself. Where the Spirit is, there is also the Father and the Son." And when Jesus said, "I will not leave you as orphans," William Hendrickson said, this is what Jesus said, "In the Spirit, I myself am coming back to you. When the Spirit is poured out, Christ returns." On the day of Pentecost, they would have called out, "He's back, he's back, he's back," in a new and a wonderful way. Father Renerio Cantalamessa, well, that's not how he pronounced his name, but he is the preacher to the Pope since 1990, and he said, "What a joy it is that the same Spirit who was in Jesus during his days on earth is in me, and that who St. Basil called his inseparable companion is now also my inseparable companion, the sweet guest of my soul." The Holy Spirit has a sure ability to make spiritual things real to the soul. He helps us to taste and see that the Father and Jesus are wonderful. Now, in the past, when I've come here, I've made reference to Bruce Springsteen and some other people, but Robbie Williams, who had a role at the World Cup, unfortunately, said in his song called "Feel," "I just want to feel real love and the love ever after. There's a hole in my soul. You can see it in my face. It's a real big place." And we can all echo the lyrics of that song. We all have a real big hole in the soul. We were designed to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. As Adam and Eve in the garden, in the cool of the day, that was suggested in the breeze of the day, when the Spirit would come and fellowship with them in the garden. The original design that we too would have our hole filled the Holy Spirit reveals that God loves us. Romans 5:5 says, "For we know how dearly God loves us, because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts and souls with love." But how does the Holy Spirit help us? If I just go back. He opens our ears and our hearts to know that we need to be saved. He convicts us of sin, and at the same time, he shows the beauty and wonder of Jesus, and he keeps turning our eyes to Jesus. Charles Spurgeon said, "It is ever the Holy Spirit's work to turn our eyes away from self to Jesus. The enemy's work is just the opposite of this, for he's constantly trying to make us regard ourselves instead of Christ. We shall never find happiness by looking at our prayers, our works, our feelings. It is what Jesus is, not what we are, that gives rest to the soul. If we would at once overcome the enemy and have peace with God, it must be by ever looking and looking and looking and gazing upon our Lord Jesus Christ." The Holy Spirit also is someone who makes communion with the Son and Father real and delightful. He is the one who flavors our taste buds, who reveals the joy and the goodness of God. He teaches us to say no to sin. We grieve him and quench him when we follow the path of evil. But wonderfully, he reminds us, as we've heard, who we are, not who we were. As I was sitting in the worship, I had a strange thought. Sometimes you have these strange thoughts. I just saw the people, all you guys sitting, and for some reason you had a passport in your kind of top pockets. And I thought, yeah, there are quite a few heavenly citizens in the room. We are citizens of heaven, which means we carry heaven within us. We have a future where heaven will come to earth, and we will dwell to gaze upon the face of Jesus in a new and renewed heavens and earth. And we are citizens of heaven by one reason and one reason alone. The passports that we carry are blood-stained, and it is through the cross of Christ that our citizenship has been won. And we should have confidence, as we've heard from Sally, that we have a real identity as the people of God with a wonderful future. And so the Holy Spirit, he reminds us who we are. The Spirit enlightens us to know the love of God, and that light warms us. Someone else has said, let's get past Robbie, can we? William Tyndale, someone a little bit more sober-minded. Where the Spirit is, there it is always summer. There it's always summer. There are always good fruits. That is to say, good works. I was praying for a guy once, and I just saw a sunshine flash over him. And it was just beautiful. It caught him by surprise. But then I read this from Michael Reeves. The Holy Spirit's real work is to bring us to and keep us in the sunshine of God's love. It is there we will sing heartily. It is there, abiding in Christ, that we will bear fruit. In the heart of the Holy God is a burning heart of affection for you. Before the creation of the world, the wonderful Trinity, the Father loving the Son loving the Father, the Holy Spirit completing that community of burning love, and we are included in that. Our second point, and my second point, and I've only got one slide for this, we could have a whole series. We are to be filled with the Spirit. And in Ephesians 5, it says, be ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. Speak out to one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, offering praise, making melody with all your heart to the Lord, and at all times and for everything giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. We're filled as we praise. We're filled as we take in the truth of God's word. We're filled as we sing it to one another and join in the song of heaven. Did you know that the Father we worship is a singing Father? He's singing over us. songs were his idea. Did you know that the Father in heaven is a laughing father? He's a happy father. Happiness and humor were his idea. And we are called to have the dialect of thanksgiving as a foundation of our lives. So we're to be filled with the Spirit, and you may have been filled last week, this morning. You may have had an amazing encounter, and I think many of us would remember back. But we're called to be filled daily in a dependence on his presence in our life. And so we come to the third and final point. We're to fully depend, we're to rely on, we're to trust in, we're to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. And our great example is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our great example is that he went into the waters of baptism at the Jordan in the low place of the earth to identify with us. And he heard the voice of love, the Father affirming who he was as Son of God, dearly loved. And then he was clothed with power. No miracles before the clothing and anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need the presence and the anointing, don't we, of the Holy Spirit. He is our example. It says Jesus was full of the Spirit and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He went through a wilderness time that was God-initiated. He went through a time of temptation and testing, and at the end of it, he overcame and he came out in power. He went in full, came out in power. And then he preached and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Spirit has anointed me to proclaim freedom, goodness, and liberty." And so Jesus is our great example. And as we heard even just before this talk, we're called to have that time with the Father. Where did Jesus' power come from? It came through intimate times of him being replenished and restored with the Father. Do you remember the story of Mary and Martha, where Martha was making a meal that Jesus never ordered and was getting really uptight that Mary was listening and sitting at the feet of Jesus? Now, I know it's not a lifestyle, we have work to do, but Martha said, "Will you tell Mary to help me?" She went to Jesus and said, "Tell her to help me." That word help is used one other place in the New Testament. It says in Romans 8, "In the same way, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but he himself intercedes for us." Martha was telling Mary to help her, when in fact she needed to sit at the feet of Jesus, like we all do. And the Holy Spirit will help us. He will help us. He's waiting to help us. Sam Storm says reliance on the Holy Spirit by Jesus was primarily that Jesus did no miracles out of his divine nature. He trusted, and rather through a constant and ever-increasing reliance on the Holy Spirit, he was able to walk in power. And so let's move quickly. The early church, what was the difference between them sitting fearful about the future? And then after the day of Pentecost, the only difference was the person of the Holy Spirit had come to give them courage and faith and fire. And they were changed men and women. Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the upper room, heartbroken and then amazed that her son was risen from the dead. Then he goes to heaven. She's with the church community and she is filled with the Holy Spirit. Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and he saw the glory of God. What are we full of? Stephen was a man full of God's grace and power. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and strong in faith. We are called to be filled and filled again. And that is about a relationship of humility and a sense that I can't do this. I can't do this Christian life on my own. So we're called to walk by the Spirit. And in Galatians, the early church teaching, one of the earliest letters, Paul writes, He says, walk by the Spirit. You'll not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now here comes a terrible list. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you with a sober warning that those who do such things, live a lifestyle, will not inherit the kingdom. But the wonderful thing is that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against such things there's no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. In the NLT, some of the phrases stand out. They say, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. The Spirit gives us godly desires. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives, love. And since we're living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. But what does it look like? One of the things I believe that we're to do is to ask for more help from the Helper. We're to have a kind of awareness of our need. I say, Holy Spirit, would you help me in the workplace? Would you help me as I go to work today? Holy Spirit, would you fill me with your love? Would you come to me? Would you guide me? Would you lead me? It's interesting, isn't it, in the fruit of the Spirit. It starts with love, ends with self-control. Now, it's all his fruit. But do we need love and joy and peace? And then we move to the self-control. As I was just kind of in the worship, I had a sense that I saw some people. They were in wonderful, rich, hot, relaxing bathtubs. There were people, they had just got into a really relaxing bathtub. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. He wants to soak us. And it's not a shower, but we're to sit and we're to be soaked so that the tension in our muscles and the strains and the stresses can somehow be just soaked through. And so, Holy Spirit, I do ask for each of us, and particularly those who need that. I'm sure we all do. Would you somehow bring us to a place of relaxation, of lying back and being soaked by you in your love, in the Saviour's love? We ask that you would come and give us a hot tub of your goodness and your joy. We ask, Lord, we need it. We really need it. Would you take out the aches and the pains and the stresses? And we ask for some wine as well and some light. We ask in Jesus' name for each one here, Lord God. And so I picked up a book which I hadn't read much for, 10 years, 20 years. Mahesh Chavda, an Indian guy who I've had the privilege of hearing and many of us would have heard. And he came from a Gujarati background. And he was someone who had to go against his whole family tradition in order to become a follower of Christ. He had to go through years, really. But what happened to him? He was led by the Spirit to go to an orphanage for children that had many disadvantages. And when he went there, he said, I learned that the power of God was to be found in the love of God. When the Lord sent me to this particular school, he did not say, I'm sending you as my ambassador of power or of miracles. He said, I'm sending you as my ambassador of love. And this was the way I saw myself, and that was the way I prayed for the children, that the Lord would make his love real to them. And as I prayed, and he said the healings came as a byproduct, I learned only love can make a miracle. And I've been praying for the gift of miracles. I've been praying because there's so many people who need the miraculous healing love of God. But as I read that this week, I felt it's love. If we can just love with the help of the Spirit, then the miracles are a byproduct. And we need to keep asking, but we can keep loving. I think Randy Clark once said, if you don't get healed, then we can do our best by God's grace to see that you're loved as part of the church family. To close, really, A.W. Tozer said, we can best repent of our neglect by neglecting the Holy Spirit no longer. Why don't we begin to think of him as one who is to be worshipped and obeyed? Let us throw open every door and invite him in again. Let's surrender to him every room in the temple of our hearts and insist that he enter and occupy as Lord and Master within his dwelling. And let us remember he is drawn to the sweet name of Jesus as bees are drawn to the fragrance of clover. Where Christ is honored, the Spirit is sure to feel welcome. Where Christ is glorified, he will move about freely, pleased and at home. Sometimes I think I just forget to ask. Help in the workplace, help in the home, help with teenagers and post-teenagers. Someone once said, is it easier to raise teenagers or to raise the dead? We know the answer, don't we? But what I'd like to do really now is just to pray and put up a prayer of surrender. And this prayer is a prayer that I got from Gerard's book. And we met as just a local church, a few of us met for a prophetic evening last week. And someone had just a simple word about opening again the doors of our hearts, the doors of our lives to the Holy Spirit. And in fact, another person, the husband of that person, had a picture of the burning coals and the dust being blown off and the fire beginning to burn. And so we then stopped the meeting and we sat individually and prayed. And then we prayed for each other kind of in ones and twos. But I think what I'd like to invite us to do, and I'm sure you've done this many times before, is to just pray, if I can get to this little prayer that I believe that Gerard wrote and prays this. He said it's a daily prayer. So I'd like to invite us to stand and kind of pray together. I believe that God is someone who will honour as we pray, he will answer. And then I'd like to just wait a moment and see what we should do next. So why should we pray together? Lord, make me hungry to know you more and to surrender every part of my life to you. Please help me to be open to everything you want to do in me and with me. And I want to trust that your grace is sufficient for me and will equip me with everything I need in order to do your will. Amen. 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 Yeah, thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who draws close to us. You're the one who is so humble. You are so holy that we could never imagine your holiness. And we can only draw near to you because of the blood of Christ. And we thank you again that Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, has taken away the sin of the world at the cross. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came fully God, fully man, pure, living a pure, wonderful life, no sin, that you went to the cross and you overcame. Death could not keep its grip on you. You died, you were buried according to the scriptures. On the third day you rose again. We thank you that you are risen, Lord Jesus. We thank you that you are now at the right hand of the Father, that you are ruling and reigning. And one day, this heavens and this earth will be made new. We thank you there'll be a day of no more tears or pain. There'll be a day where there is no sickness, where there is no depression or fear. And we honor you, Lord Jesus, that you are the King. You are the King. You are the King of Kings. We honor you, Jesus. We thank you that it's all about your beauty and your victory, and that you are holy. And we just thank you for your compassion. We thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit. We thank you that you did go to be by the Father's side. And you sent the Holy Spirit to be in the earth and in our hearts. We thank you that we are your temple, that we are now individually and corporately your temple. And we ask that you would come in response to the prayers that we've prayed together. It says where brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, you command that anointed blessing. And I ask, Lord, that your blessing would come and that you would do what you want to do, Holy Spirit. Lord, we do ask for gifts of the Spirit to just flow in our midst. And we ask for love to come.
Yes.
Bring love. Bring your love in our hearts. Give us a baptism, a bath of love. Drench us, submerge us in the love of God again. Lord, we need you. We need you. We really need you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It's all about you, Lord Jesus. It's all about you, Heavenly Father. Thank you that we have a Father in heaven who loves us, who sees us, who knows us, who will never leave us or forsake us. We thank you, Lord. Would you open our eyes again to how much you love us? Open the eyes of our hearts again. For the first time, maybe for some, would you really, really show on Father's Day the love of the Father, the Heavenly Father, the perfect Father? We thank you. You said perfect love drives out fear. And we thank you that we are perfectly loved. And I pray for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Holy Spirit, would you bring that revelation to us here today, that we're perfectly loved? Yes, Lord. And I pray for healing to come to our bodies where we need healing in our spirits and in our bodies. We ask, we say over everybody here, be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Would pain and sickness and illness be gone in Jesus' name? In Jesus' name. Would you come, Holy Spirit? Thank you, Lord. Last Sunday, we had a guy come. He was on a bus. He was a Hindu guy. He'd met one of our members on a bus, and she said, come to church. He turned up at church, and he couldn't sit down on a chair because a few years before he'd fallen, and his back was damaged, and his hand was numb. And during the meeting, some of the guys prayed with him, and he received feeling back into his hand, and he walked home. He said, I can walk home now because this Jesus has touched me. And so, Lord, we thank you that testimony means do it again. We ask, Lord, for people with back problems, but and also where they've been damaged through accidents, would you bring restoration in Jesus' name? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's just sing out to Jesus. Sing out in tongues, sing out in your own.
Oh, yes, and amen. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep this love is, his love. May you experience freshly the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think or imagine. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answering. Thank you for giving us prayers to pray that you take delight in answering. We thank you for the answers. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'd love to give an opportunity to actually just pray, kind of to lay hands on anyone who would want to be laid hands on, to just receive a fresh baptism of love. And at the same time, if you would like to receive prayer for physical or emotional healing, I'd love to pray for you as well. I do believe that God wants to bring healing today. I believe he sent this guy last week into our service as a sign that he wants to stretch out his hand to heal. So we say, Lord Jesus, you are the healer. We ask you to stretch forth your hand to heal. And we pray you'd surprise us and you would shock us, Lord, because we do need your help and your healing. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, so if you would like prayer for either of those kind of streams, then we would just love to pray for you.
Just make your way to the front here. Cliff and Beth are going to come and pray. The rest of us, let's continue to worship. Well, let's start. One of the things about being God's people is that we're connected and that we belong to each other. A lovely thing that Apostle Paul says, that each member belongs to another. So I wonder if you would reach across and just put your hand on the shoulder of somebody else. Just reach across, put your hand on the shoulder of somebody else. And would you pray, let's pray for God's blessing on each other. Sometimes we pray for ourselves. Let's pray. Let's pray out loud for the person you got your hand on. Just say, God, please, today. God, please, today, would you work in my brother's heart, my sister's heart, my friend's heart. Lord, would you do something today amongst us? Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we belong to each other, that we're not individuals just come here to worship you, that we're your family that's gathered together to love you, to draw close to you, to know you. Jesus, would you come amongst us in a very special way today? And Lord, we lift our hearts to you. Help us to thank you. Help us to praise you. Help us to draw close to you in worship. Lovely to see you this morning. Wonderful, wonderful. Now, today, it's a special day. It's Father's Day, and we want to bless all the men. So if you are 18, if you're male and you're 18 or above, if you're a dad or not, could you stand, please? All the guys. Let's give them a big. Fantastic. Okay, so listen, we want to appreciate you this morning. So the ladies that are round about, the children, just put your hands on the guys that are in front of you, around you. Just lay a hand on these guys. Is everyone there? We go. Fantastic. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much for every person here this morning. But we pray, Lord, for all the men that you have placed in this church, all the men that are here this morning. Lord, we want to ask, Lord, for your rich, rich blessing. We want to pray, Lord, would you give each one the heart of a father? Give each one, Lord, your heart of compassion, your heart of love, your heart of mercy, your heart of grace, your strength, your blessing. Lord, would you please pour out by your Holy Spirit on every single man here as we're laying hands on these guys. Lord, would you impart to them. Lord, would you fill them. Lord, would you use them. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab a seat, please, for a moment. Tim, come. Tim's got a word of encouragement for us. Tim.
Morning, church. Try to keep it short. I had a couple of really interesting weeks, and I would love to share one thought with you came into my heart this morning. It sounds really straightforward, Christian. Don't worry. Yeah, everybody says that, right? But I really want to encourage you, don't worry. Over the last couple of weeks, I had a few challenges, and I heard just from speaking with a few of you that here and there, people have challenges too in their lives. Wow, it's life. But I always wondered over the couple last weeks what Jesus did when there was stuff coming on. And what Jesus did was always in the mornings, he was seeking the Father. And just spending time with him in prayer. Like Abigail sits on your lap right now, Nick. He was just spending time with the Father. And what that did was that Jesus was always in peace and in rest. So for example, when Jesus and his disciples were on the move somewhere, and then it says like, tax collection is coming along. Jesus, we have to pay tax. And Jesus was like, yeah, don't worry. Just go and hunt that fish. Like, okay. And they paid the tax. Or like, oh, we have to feed 5,000 people. No pressure. He was like, yeah, no worries. Because he was so close to the Father. He was so close to his heart that he knew God would provide. And guys, if you have challenging times, if whatever is going on in your life, I don't know. I'm with you from my part with my challenges. I just want to encourage you, seek the Father just a couple of minutes every morning and try to stay on this rock, Jesus, because he is our peace. You can't help God with your worries, with your sorrows. You can't push him forward a tiny bit because he's the only one who can help you. So I really want to encourage you. He knows everything that's going on, and he has a solution in place already. You know, faith is being convinced of the things they are not yet to see as they were already. Yeah. That's what Jesus had. He was just convinced like, hey, God is providing, and God was providing all the time. And, just to finish this, Jesus was even so close with the Father, that in the morning of his last day on earth, when he went to the cross in the Garden Gethsemane, he was praying, and he was, you know, he was sweating water and blood, and he knew what would come, but he was so close with the Father and so in peace and one with him that he even could say yes to this one sacrifice he had to do. That was the relationship between Jesus and the Father. And if we can just get a step towards that, that would be already amazing and will change our lives forever. So I just want to encourage you. Thanks.
Fantastic. How encouraging. Thank you so much. Just wanted to give some feedback last week. Thanks so much for everyone who helped on the Fleet Festival. We've got a couple of photos, Emily, of some of the people that were fantastic. Some of the helpers last week. Amazing. And Cleo and Craig. It was a really lovely time. God blessed so much. Thank you if you came to help with the children, with the kids' crafts. We had many, many people come to take part in the kids' crafts. We took over Kentish Town Library, well, the children's part of Kentish Town Library. And the library staff said, people asked during the year, when is Fleet Festival? They want to know when it is. And that some people that came had not got the invitation, but they'd look proactively on the website to find out when it was because they wanted to come. And the library staff said it's the best event that they put on or that they host during the whole of their year. So thanks for Bob and Vicky Dewitt and everyone that did all the photos. Thanks to everyone that handed out leaflets, handed out cakes, that did all the stuff. So what a fantastic time. We touched many, many people's lives. And I think Mary prayed for someone on the streets for salvation as she was giving out leaflets. So fantastic. What a great time at Fleet Festival. Michelle's got a verse for us. No, Sally's got a verse for us.
Yeah, it got lended to me again because all I did was walk in, say hi to Michelle, and then but, which was the first word of the memory verse, and it was all that my mum could learn on the first few days of our holiday together, because I have said before I get my mum to learn it to help me to fix it in my brain. So I'd say, what is the memory verse? And she'd say, but, and then wait for me to prompt her with the next little bit. So I'm going to tell it to you, and then I'm going to tell you why I keep trying to learn it, because I've been up here a couple of times before. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a saviour from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's from Philippians 3, verse 20. So the reason I keep learning it, because Michelle, when she talks about it, she comes to the front and she talks about how these verses have changed her life, that she is so confident of her identity because she's learnt these verses that are the word of God and they speak the truth. And I want that. I want my identity to be so firmly fixed on what God says that it won't matter to me what other people think or what I think other people think, because it just gets so complicated. And if my identity is fixed on what God says, then that won't get changed by any circumstance.
It's lost the granddaughter. Charity Wood. A bit like Christmas, it's coming whether we're ready or not. We will be down there next week. In fact, this time next week, it'll almost be finished. Can you believe it? So we're nearly ready. Leaders' instructions. If you're 15 and over, then you have tasks to do at Carity Wood if you're coming. So I've put the tasks on the back of the information point. And Lily, of course, you see, I'm not up with what you can do with a mobile phone. She immediately took a photo of it. So if you're coming, she hasn't done it yet, but she's going to. So take a photo. If you're coming to Carity Wood, take a photo, if you can, of the tasks. Then you'll know your tasks. Because the trouble with Carity Wood is when we get there, it all just happens so fast that half the time people haven't found out what their tasks are by the end of the weekend. So we're trying to prepare better, okay? So your tasks are up there. Leaders' instructions. Luke's got some leaders' instructions, which he's going to give to the younger ones. So the Ablaze guys are all coming to help, and he's got very specific instructions and sort of, yeah, advice for that. Could we say a massive, massive thank you to the people who've sponsored? We are incredibly grateful. Many, many people have sponsored the camp this year, sponsored children and teenagers to come. We are hugely grateful. I've nearly finished telling everyone who their child and teenagers are. So I'm going to finish that in the next sort of 24 hours so everyone will know. What else have I got to you? I've got the final instructions, which I've sent out to everyone, but I'll leave some of these at the back. Probably the most important thing is that the coach will be leaving, okay? And we did famously leave someone behind because they weren't there. So we just need you to try and get there by 5:30. Ready to head off on this coming Friday, Friday 22nd. But I'll leave those instructions at the back. And then we're going to pray. Luke. Is Luke here? And we're going to pray this Tuesday.
Hello, hi. So this Tuesday evening, the normal prayer meeting at Highgate Road Chapel is taken over by Carity Wood. So if you're interested in coming to pray for Carity Wood, we would love to have you there. And there's a possibility of going for pizza afterwards, if that so interests you. In Kentish Town, so local, so not a long walk.
Local, 7:30. Luke's late night pizza in Kentish Town, 7:30 until 9. 7:30 9. Our vision for Carity Wood is these burning coals. This has been our real vision over the last 2 or 3 years, that our hearts would be set on fire for Jesus together. And this is our prayer. And a little bit of this happened 2 years ago, and a little bit of it happened last year. We are praying for more. I need to have my heart set on fire. We want our hearts to be set on fire together. I'd like to be one of the ones right deep in the middle that in the end turn completely fiery. None of the dark stuff left. So that's our vision. Abigail, I wonder if you might just come and quickly pray. Let's just close our eyes. We're just going to very quickly pray just for the camp that God would do this. Let's close our eyes. And then I think the kids are going to go out.
Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Please, Lord, may all our hearts be like the burning coal. Can we not have darkness in our heart? Can our hearts be set on fire like flames? Please, Lord, can you be here with every single person in this church? Can you be here with all of us as we go to Carity Wood? Can you be there watching us have fun, and can you just be there? In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Brilliant.
Just finally, the Sunday after Carity Wood, so 2 weeks today, we're going to have a celebration here of all that happened at Carity Wood. We're going to hear about some of the things that happened. We're going to sing some of the songs. And we're also going to share lunch together. So please, would you bring some food, a main course or a dessert, not next week, which is the Carity Wood, but the week after, which is the 1st of July. Sunday, the 1st of July. Please, would you bring some food, because we're going to share lunch here after on that day. Fantastic. Thanks for being so patient. The children, the young people, the babies, the preschool, going to make a move out through that door.